Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Every Wednesday, we do our dive into college football, the game that I lose more money at than anything in the world. Hello, John Talty joining us now from CBS Sports, 24/7 Sports. Also teamed up with Armin Katayan on The Price, which you can check out now on Amazon or wherever you get your books. John, what's up, dude? How are you?
Good. I'm going to try to help you not lose more money this week.
Bro, yeah. I'll take all
it's
the tips
hard
you got.
To predict what 18 to 21-year-olds are going to be doing.
I usually – you want to know what my routine Saturday college football betting strategy is? Have a plan, listen to a bunch of podcasts, be locked in at noon. Then as the day goes on, that's the only day off I ever get anymore.
I start drinking,
and then whatever's coming on from that 6 to 10 o'clock hour, I'm just letting them fly, baby. It's not a good strategy.
You know, sometimes it works. You know, there were some opportunities. I had some buddies who made a good amount of money live betting on Georgia against Kentucky. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard, and, you know, it's you start chasing it, right?
You lose
a couple bets early on, you start chasing it, and, you know.
Oregon can't cover to save their lives, but Kentucky did hit, so we're cool with Kentucky right now. John, so I'm checking out your Twitter feed, dude, and everybody should, at JTalty, T-A-L-T-Y. And I want to start, like, college football realignment stuff is so nuts. Now the ACC thinks they have a plan to keep Florida State and Clemson happy. How realistic is any of this?
Well, what's funny is that, you know, Florida State pitched this about 2 years ago, and they got shut down. It didn't go anywhere. And, you know, as we all know, there's been ongoing litigation involving everybody. And now, all of a sudden, they're interested in it. You know, I think what's, you know, interesting about this one, we'll see what happens. It's still early on. You know, and they're ultimately going to have to try to find a way that it's a win-win for both parties. But I think one of the things that has been reiterated multiple times, things that I've heard and my colleagues have heard, is just wondering, you know, where were Florida State and Clemson going to go? You know, I've heard from years from high-ranking sources that the SEC was not going to be interested. That's been reiterated to me over and over again. I think we thought that the Big Ten would make a lot of sense. You know, we've heard that that might not be the case. And so I think this allows, if they can work it out, it allows them to fix what they believe to be a revenue problem where they're not getting as much of a cut as they think that they deserve and that they're falling behind SEC and Big Ten programs. And it also allows the ACC to keep, you know, two of its premier properties. You know, Florida State's had, of course, a really bad year this year, so the timing's interesting. But, you know, they've been traditionally good, and they're one of the higher, more well-known programs that, you know, you would like to keep if you can. So, you know, the thing that I am curious at is just, again, how exactly this formula is going to work, where the money is specifically coming from. Because, you know, right now we're seeing things kind of crop up across the country. Like, athletic departments are desperate to try to hold on to and gain as much money as they can because of, you know, revenue sharing coming down the pike and all these different things. So when you're going to ask a Wake Forest to possibly give up revenue to keep Florida State, you know, that's going to be a tricky conversation. That's going to take some massaging, I think, from ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips to get everybody on board with it.
Why wouldn't the SEC be interested in Florida State and Clemson, though?
Doesn't help their TV markets, right?
Yeah, I think that's primarily what it is. You're already in both of those markets with Florida and South Carolina. Of course, both of those schools would not enjoy Florida State and Clemson coming in. You know, So that's the big thing is that, you know, what I've been told, you know, over and over again by people I trust is that, you know, you would look to maybe a North Carolina, which allows you to get into a different geographic market that you're not currently in. That would provide more value to, you know, ESPN and also, you know, to the SEC network. The only kind of counter argument that I've
Texas
ever gotten
Texas
about.
A&M?
I think Texas, they're willing to let it ride.
Yeah, and Texas is such a huge brand,
well,
right?
And A&M, I think, was furious,
yeah, they got money,
right?
Too.
But they were furious when they let Texas in.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's, I think, is a great segue to what I was about to say, in that, like, one of the reasons why they took Texas and Oklahoma, I mean, it's obvious, right? They're great programs and they make a lot of money and all that. But it was also those two schools had decided they wanted to leave the Big 12. And for the SEC, it was either we can take them or the Big Ten can take them and plant a flag in our territory, right? So that's the one counter argument that I've gotten with the SEC is like, if it's a Big Ten, do you really want them coming down into Florida and planting a Big Ten flag in Florida? So do you kind of have to be counter aggressive to grab them before somebody else does? But to this point, you know, they have not been interested in doing that. They like where they're at, and you just don't want to add anybody that's not going to bump the money up, because nobody wants to take a smaller bite of the pie right now. And so Clemson just doesn't move the money up from what I've been told. And that's, I think, at least for them, because they're already in that state and they don't have such a huge brand that they're bringing in value other ways.
Wow. Can't tell the Clemson people that.
Yeah.
They'll argue to death.
Talking with John Talty here from CBS Sports, college football analyst, writer, reporter. Georgia gets moved down in the rankings. Texas gets moved up. Texas looks like a wagon, dude. What do you make of the top of college football? Kind of who's legit, who might not be?
Yeah, I mean, Texas looks awesome so far, right? There's been very little to not like. I mean, of course, the Quinn Ewers injury question seems like it's okay. Arch looked great in as a replacement, but you know, you're curious to see how that plays out. But yeah, I mean, they've looked awesome, and I think they match up well against a lot of the other teams. You know, I think Georgia's going to be fascinating to me because they play Alabama in a week. In many ways, kind of the early game of the year. It's a great early test for Kalen DeBoer, his first really big game in Tuscaloosa. And, you know, Georgia hasn't looked great so far. You know, they didn't look great against Kentucky. They're banged up a bit. Offense just was not able to really get it going. And so are they able to use that as a wake-up call, having a bye week this week and have it kind of locked and loaded going into Tuscaloosa next week? That's something that I'm personally fascinated about. And then, you know, Ole Miss and Tennessee are both just rolling right now. I mean, Lane's putting up a ton of points. They look awesome. They've got, you know, some interesting games coming up, but really kind of easy schedule to start the season, able to get a lot of momentum. And, you know, Tennessee has to go to Oklahoma, the big Josh Heupel reunion this weekend. They've looked great. Nico's looks like the real deal. And their defense maybe has impressed me more than anything. So, you know, the SEC is top heavy this year. All those teams feel like legitimate playoff contenders, legitimate national championship contenders. They're going to have to start playing each other. So we'll find out how they separate here in the coming weeks. But all those teams are really interesting to me. And all of them, I think, on paper, have the chance to really win big. But, you know, if you had to pick one right now, Texas is definitely the one that's been the most impressive.
Can Miami make some noise down the stretch?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cam Ward looks like a Heisman contender. He has been, in my opinion, the best buy out of the portal that anyone made. And, you know, I've even written in the past, you know, it came down to basically Miami and Florida State, and Florida State not getting Cam Ward has had a pretty bad negative impact on their season. But Cam's been great for Florida. I mean, for Miami, they've put it together well. Schedule's pretty easy overall. You know, they've got a game coming up in a couple weeks against Louisville. Louisville feels like one of the kind of ACC contenders. I'm pretty sure it's at Louisville. So that will be, you know, Miami's big kind of test early on. But, you know, they feel like they have the weapons. Their defense has been good. You know, the talent's been there. Just they've underachieved the last 2 years, but feels like they're starting to put it together. And as you guys know, if you've got the right quarterback, anything's possible. And, you know, Cam Ward looks like the right quarterback right now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's pretty wild when you look at this, B. Of the top 10, and I'm just looking at the coaches poll, you have, is it 7 out of 10 or SEC teams? The highest ranked ACC team is Miami at 11. John, you didn't even mention Mizzou.
Missouri's in it too.
Yo, Mizzou is loaded, and they cover like crazy. You go to the Big Ten, you've got Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and frankly, I think that's the only real contenders in the Big Ten. I think Michigan just doesn't have it. I think Harbaugh got out at the right time. What do you make of the Buckeyes, the Ducks, and the Nittany Lions?
Yeah, and I would add USC to that mix potentially, too.
I completely forgot they're in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I know. It all comes back to conference realignment, right? It's really tough to get used to it. Yeah, I mean, they play Michigan this week. I expect USC to win that game. Michigan has not impressed me, and I think USC so far, again, it's early, but their defense looks really good so far, and I think that the defensive staff adjustments that Lincoln Riley, that overhaul that he made, I think has worked out really well so far. And, you know, if they continue to win, I think you'll see Miller Moss get some Heisman hype if he hasn't already. But, yeah, I think those are the ones you mentioned are probably the top ones so far. I probably like USC a little bit better than Penn State, but Ohio State hasn't played anybody really yet. There's some big games coming down the line. I think October 12th, Ohio State, Oregon, that might be the game that decides the Big Ten. I think that's, you know, the one that people already kind of have their eyes on. And, you know, is Ohio State for real, or are they just kind of beating up on some of these lesser opponents? That will be a test. You know, Oregon hasn't really impressed me so far.
No,
they came in with a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel's been okay. Offensive line has not been great. They easily could have lost to Boise State a week ago. And Ashton Jansen's been an incredible running back for Boise State. But, you know, you don't expect them to potentially lose there. So I think we're waiting to see can that light flip on. You know, it hasn't happened yet. They have the talent. They have one of the highest paid rosters in college football. They've invested a lot of money in NIL. I really like Dan Lanning as a coach. I think he's, you know, the future of the sport in many ways, but this hasn't happened yet. So, you know, they haven't had that disaster. That's great. Some of the early part of a season just about surviving, but I'd like to see them start ramping it up because we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, for sure. Georgia Bama next weekend got an invite to go down on Air Mathers, and we'll be in Arizona watching that game. But a long ago power. John, I'm also going to give you a quick tip, dude. I'm telling you, October 19th, take the points with the Terps at home with the Trojans coming to town. USC's going to look past that game. Coach Locks will have the boys ready to play. They play the big boys tough, man.
He's thinking with his heart right there, not his head.
Hey, I said it. I called my Michigan cover last year, 3 months out, and they covered. I'm saying.
Okay.
Hey, we wrote about Locks a lot in our book, The Price. You know, I like Locks.
And cool.
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple chapters about Locks and Maryland and how they're trying to level up in the book. So, you know, I'm with you. I mean, they always, like you said, they always play Michigan well. They always play Ohio State well. You know, that loss to Michigan State was obviously disappointing. You know, I think they should probably win all their games leading up to that USC game. And so, you know, as rowdy as College Park can get, I think it'll be a pretty good crowd for that game.
I'll be there. I plan on going. I don't know if I'm going with my family or if I'm going solo. If I'm going solo, I'll be rowdy.
It could be a problem.
a perennial power that has just completely fallen off, and I just don't know how real this return is. What do you think about Nebraska? Tommy Frazier was one of my favorite players as a kid. I loved those teams. What are they now?
I think they're on the way up. You know, it was funny. I spent a whole day last week with Trent Dilfer, the UAB head coach. And, you know, you spent a whole day with somebody, you talk about a lot of stuff. And he was just absolutely raving to me about Matt Rhule and just how he's done things at Nebraska, how real he thinks he is. And he's like, you know, he's like, next offseason, if there's any coach I could spend some time with, it'd be Matt Rhule and what he's doing at Nebraska. So, you know, it felt like that program was in some ways dead, you know, especially all the hype around Scott Frost, you know, the hero coming back to save the place, and didn't work. But Rhule's done a good job. I think he's very realistic about what it takes to win in this current world. Of course, having Dylan Raiola helps. That was, you know, probably one of the best moves they could have possibly made, you know, committed to Georgia, able to get that flip late. He's been the real deal so far. I think they need to, of course, continue to surround him with talent, but they've impressed me. You know, Matt Rhule's a good coach, did a good job at the college level, you know, didn't quite work out with the Panthers.
Yeah, he's great
at
the college level.
I mean, but is anybody good at the Panthers anymore?
No.
Yeah, I don't know that I put that much blame on them there. So, you know, I think, yeah, it's a great early test against Illinois. Illinois's been good. You know, their defense has been pretty good. You know, Bielema does a good job there. You know, they beat the Terps last year. That was a tough one for Maryland. You know, they just seem to kind of win these games. So, you know, we'll see whether Nebraska is for real or not. But, you know, there was a time where I thought Nebraska not dead, but was dying. And for all the reasons you'd expect, like, you know, a lot of the talent has left the Midwest and moved south. It's not a lot of, you know, local recruiting talent, but I actually think the NIL era has been great for Nebraska because they have an incredibly passionate fan base that's willing to invest in the program. And I think that that's been very beneficial for Matt Rhule right now.
Yeah, for sure. Last one, because they just played. Obviously, this used to be an old school rivalry. Like, I remember Cordell Stewart going to Lincoln. Now, Nebraska got this one. They beat Colorado. Then Colorado, though, was able to rally, beat Colorado State on the road. Deion's crew is 2-1. Deion generates a billion headlines, whether you like them, hate them, somewhere in between. Their schedule's about to get a lot tougher. They're getting into the Big 12 play. The fact that Colorado versus UCF is a conference game is mind-boggling. But where do we think this is going, and where do we think Deion's going?
I think it's going downhill, and I think Deion's leaving. Maybe not this year, but it just doesn't feel like this thing's built to last. And I think it's for all the reasons you expect. Like, they have incredible talent at the very, very top. But top to bottom, it's not there. I think we saw it last year. We've seen some versions of it. I think it'll become more and more apparent as the season goes on. And, you know, I think when you talk to different agents and coaches and other people in the industry, I think a lot of people are keeping an eye on Colorado. Just to, is Deion going to stick around? You know, if both Shador and Travis Hunter go to the NFL, is he going to stick around? I think that's an open question that people have right now. And I just, you know, with the way that he has approached building that program, it's very unique. I mean, he has kind of skewed most high school recruiting. He's talked about, you know, not going on recruiting trips to high schools. I think he's the only coach in America who's doing it that way. If it works, it's great. When it doesn't, a lot of people point fingers, which is what you're kind of seeing right now. But I'm very skeptical of their long-term potential. I'm skeptical of their short-term potential this season. I just don't think he has enough depth and talent beyond, you know, Shador and Travis and a couple other guys. And I think that's going to, you know, become a problem as season goes on. And you've already seen some of their guys getting banged up. You know, that's, you know, why Alabama and Georgia and other programs have been so good for so long is that if one of their top guys goes down, they usually have another 4 or 5 star ready to step in and play. Colorado just doesn't have anywhere near that depth. And so, you know, when they lose some of these guys, when they go down, you see a noticeable drop back. And that would be my fear moving forward. And especially, you know, the offensive line issues, you know, if Shador gets banged up at all, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, or God forbid, you know, Travis gets banged up.
I have a friend named Greg who constantly is texting me Deion conspiracy theory.
Going to Dallas.
He was convinced that Deion and Shador were going to Dallas, and then they paid Dak. So now that conspiracy theory is gone. Obviously, there's trouble at Florida State. What are the chances Deion lands at Florida State?
I just don't see it. You know, I Mike Norvell, I think, would be owed like, I don't know, like $60 or $70 million. So he's locked in for a while. And, you know, I think if he was able to take Colorado to the next level, and I think that, you know, a year ago when there was all the national attention around Colorado and it felt like things were really, you know, boom, you thought, all right, he's probably going to do 2 years here and then he'll bounce to that next big job. But I think there's a lot of skepticism within the industry of his ability to win at a high level, particularly at a Power Four program. Like, you know, the ancillary benefits of Deion are obvious. You get a lot of national attention. You know, I know at CBS Sports, we've written about how they've had a kind of a boom in terms of applications and out-of-state people wanting to go to Colorado. All that stuff's great. There's value financially for a school having Deion involved. But when it comes to winning games on the field, I think there's a lot of skepticism about Deion's ability to do that. And so I just don't see that jump happening right now. You know, could he go to the NFL? Sure, it's possible. But Florida State to me is not happening at this moment. I just don't know. You know, Florida's not going to happen. I don't know what bigger job that's going to potentially come open this cycle that would actually have interest in Deion at this point.
John, this has been great, man. We can do it again. Appreciate the time.
Would love to. Thanks. Appreciate you guys.
All right. That is John Talty, J Talty, T A L T Y. That was good. Good job, Landini. Great booking right there.